See, too many of y'all in the comfort zone. You got to stay on the cutting edge.
Welcome to LeroyThompson.tv, where you get the cutting edge.
Let's create an atmosphere for the Spirit of God to move in. Father, we worship you in this place. Wherever you are, at home, on Roku, watching by Roku, watching by LeroyThompson.tv, lift your hands right where you are. Create an atmosphere where you are. There's no distance in the Spirit. Father, we love you in this place. We love you, God. We honor you. We praise you. We need your presence in this place. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. We love you, God. We love you, we love you, we love you. God, you deserve all the praise. Father, thank you for giving us the privilege to approach your throne, that we may obtain mercy in a time of need. Thank you for allowing us to be in your presence. Jesus, you paid the price so that we can be in the presence of our Father. What an awesome price you paid. We don't take it lightly, the price you paid. We appreciate the price you paid. And so therefore we'll take advantage of the price you paid. God, while you're here, our hearts are open, our minds are open. We're ready to receive from you what you want us to know. Holy Spirit, you're the only one. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can escort us in the spirit world properly. So we yield to you, Holy Spirit. You're the very Spirit of God. Whatever direction he wants to go in, we want to go. So we yield to you. Thank you for every ministry that is represented in this particular place. For every ministry that is represented watching us by TV. Thank you for their leaders. Thank you that the anointing is resting in every church represented here. Father, we're together on one accord. We're here together in covenant. We're here together in unity. Father, you say where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. Father, we give you all the glory and all the honor for what you're going to do tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody in agreement with that, say amen. Amen. You may turn around, love on somebody. Tell them it's good to see them. Glory to God. Amen. You may be seated. It's a good night. Amen. I'm very excited for one reason, is that, you know, I see that Water Life members are in here. I also see that LTMA member churches, they are here. And LTMA and the members of LTMA, we are headed in the right direction. Because when you can lead people and ask people to do things and they submit and do it, that means we all are positioning ourselves for an increased promised blessing. And so tonight your life is going to be changed. Your life is going to be impacted. Tonight is an apostolic night. And so I'm very excited about what God is going to do in this place tonight. And so I want you to prepare to have your hearts open. Have your minds open, and allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do in this place. How many can agree with me on that? We will allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do in this place. Amen. Would you please again stand to your feet and welcome our apostle to the pulpit.
Can't feel. I saw. All right. See. All right. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. You watching by internet, I don't know how you get in on this. Maybe Leroy can tell you. Roku, I don't know, Leroy. You had to set them some way up to get in on it. People watching from all over the world, foreign countries. We're scheduled to go to Brazil 1 month. The next month, well, I can't pronounce that other place. Barbados. Glory to God. This is a special night. I will give my first major apostolic address tonight. Yeah.
Altar tab they can click online.
That's a what?
Altar tab. It says altar.
Oh, that's an altar.
It's a button you can click. It says altar. Just to click on
place
it.
You say altar, you can get in on this giving, sawing freely. Just push altar and we'll put it there for you. We have learned over the years, for 20 years it's been going on, but we have learned that people are prophesying personally over their harvest. And I've seen men cut it out, being deep in spiritual, and they're just blocking their people from getting blessed. It's a freedom, isn't it? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We have people here from around the world. We have also groups in different states and different countries. Have people watching the broadcast, doing what they can do to get that into their country, into their cities. I have no idea how many people watch it, but I'm thankful for them all. Glory. Praise his holy name. Yes. Hallelujah. Just let the people prophesy over it. Don't get uneasy. Now I'm thankful that I have all these men and women of God here. I did not know in this minister's conference we're going to have to go into this route. And I asked the local boys to bring their members, and I say to my members, be here, because we haven't really understood the office of an apostle. After some 30-something years, I had a mind in my own business, just like when he called me to preach. I was minding my own business. My wife and I was out RVing. My wife was on the computer. I was sitting, just relaxing. Not even watching TV, just relaxing. And the Lord said, I've called you to be an apostle. And I double took, you know, because my wife didn't hear anything. Then he said it again. And I told him, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I had no idea what an apostle was. But I had some spiritual genes under my belt,
yes, sir,
for over the years of being a pastor.
Yes, sir.
And so that's why I talked to my boys, go slow on this apostle stuff and different name. Just wait on the Lord. Give you the foundation, you know. Then I began to study about the office of an apostle. And I found out that sometimes we're really missing it when you come down to the apostle. One of the things that the apostle is called to do is to make contact directly from heaven to earth on major things that coming into the body of Christ, doctrines. That if something is flowing in the body of Christ and the apostle come up on it and God give him an assignment, God will give him revelation of how to deal with it and how to protect his children. Sometimes I went deep into the area of grace, got excited myself. But I found out I was an undercover boss. Obviously, he was letting me look after some 40 to 50 or 60 hours of listening and watching. And I'm not going to try to hurt anybody tonight. I'm just going to make sure the body of Christ is protected and covered. Because in these last days, there are going to come many doctrines that have to be. And I think that's why he's expanding on the apostleship, that we can have protection by gifts. And so I'll let you sit down in a few minutes. After a matter of studying for so many hours, night and day, sometimes all night, because when I go behind something in the spirit realm, I go for it, brother. And then finally, there came an uneasiness in me. Uneasiness because I'm going to read some scriptures. You know, the book of Revelation said, don't take away, don't add nothing to it. I think that principle worked for the whole Bible. Then I'll read your scripture where little foxes spoil the vine. And then a little leaveth the whole lump. And so if you get off, it's sort of like flying. My pilots tell me, I have two veteran pilots, Mitch and Mike. Both of them have flown, I think Mitch had flown for the airline. And they are both professional pilots. I tell you, I need them the other night, boy. We got some weather. I wouldn't want no rookie up in there. Hallelujah. But if you get off course a little bit in aviation, you'll never get where you're going. And sometime in the body of Christ, we get off and things be almost right. But just a little bit can mess the whole thing up. So tonight I will take you through as much as I can. I may have to finish this tomorrow night. It's good for ministers to be here. It's a ministers' conference. It's good to be here. And I wanted them to see me in action in my whole, with my congregation here somewhat, and see me in action. So we just thank the Father tonight. Leroy, I pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you're here to show us the things we need to know. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. You may be seated. I want to begin in a very familiar scripture. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we want to establish the fact that all doctrine need to balance out with other doctrine. So we're going to balance grace tonight with the whole counsel of God. Balance, and you got to balance love, you got to balance faith, everything got to be balanced for it to come out right. It's like cooking a meal. You got to put the ingredients in there, right? And so maybe let's turn to make sure we get this. Let me go somewhere else first to lay the foundation here. Let's see where I want to start. No, I need to start with 2 Timothy 3:16 because it's going to put us in a position be able to make the transitions that we need. There may be some things in your ministry, there may be some things in your life that you've learned from some that may be touched tonight, and give you a chance to straighten it out by the help of the Holy Ghost. Now there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, all scriptures is given by inspiration of God. By what? And that's the breath of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now that's another scripture that I need to call attention here now is 2 Timothy. Or is it 1 Timothy, 2:15? What, is 2nd or 1st? All y'all preachers, answer up here. Y'all didn't know John 15:7. Thank you so much. Turn there if you will. Turn there, because it seemed good to the Holy Ghost to lock these two scriptures in together right now as I begin to say something on this first verse I read. And I have to be accurate here. We read a verse about accurate today. All right? 2 Timothy 2:15, see? You don't just jump in the Bible and jump around and do all kind of things. He says here, study. What? To show yourself. Unto who? Man. God. A workman that needs not be ashamed. Now this last part is very important because the Bible says in the last days there'll be seducing spirit. And the Bible says if you're not careful, even the very elect would get carried away with something if they don't yield to the Holy Spirit. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You see that?
Yes,
rightly dividing the word of truth, meaning that you can wrongly divide it and it won't be the truth.
Right?
So those are two powerful scriptures there within themselves. 2 Timothy 3:16, 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, it'll take a little while to get this out, you know. I might sound like I'm choking a little bit, but it's going to be a while, but the Lord's going to bring it out clear.
Yes, sir.
So in those four things, there are four things in 2 Timothy 3:16 that we need to make clear. Number one, doctrine. Now, ministers, I'm going to give you something that you can have under your belt the rest of your day, especially you pastors. Doctrine here means established order of God. The established order of God. The things of God has to be established properly. They have to be order. They have to be divine order. That's where you see government. See, the apostles' office is to make sure that government is flowing right, overseeing is flowing right over the people of God, protecting the flock, making sure the flock is getting it right, making sure that they believe in the right thing, that they can act on the right thing, and that they can come out with the right result. Making sure they know how to break the power of the devil over their lives so they can live the good prearranged life God had prearranged for them. And then reproof. Now this reproof is a very, in that same opening, reproof means dismantling of erroneous teaching and erroneous thinking. I think that's powerful. See, it has to be dismantled. It has to be an anointing to dismantle spiritual thing. There has to be an anointing to do it. You can't just read it. You see, because there's powers behind it. And so it has to face God, not man. Dismantling of erroneous teaching. Because you see, if you're in error, in traveling, you're not going to ever get where you're going. Are you following me? And then when they say correction, and that's Sam Oldman, the assimilation of truth in thought process. But you have to assimilate it properly. You know, God said in Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. Didn't say we couldn't have them. He gave them to us. But we got to right here divide and think like he thinks. And then instruction, the systematic application of God's word in your life. The systematic application. See, it's got to be systematic. Application of God's word in your life. These four things will do you good. Now, when you come down, the subject we're dealing with is the subject of grace. I have some taste myself I have to pull off the market. Because they begin to take scriptures out. And you know, I went so far, and then the Spirit of God, I'm praying the early night morning watch, and the Lord said to me, there's error there. Good teaching, good people, saved. They saved.
Yeah.
And so I started praying in tongue, and then I had no peace until he told me this. He said, balance grace with the whole counsel of God. Just like you got to balance everything else. You know, God knows that in being one of the leading teachers on prosperity and wealth, he know that I had some classes with him on balance. Because if anything you got to balance, you got to balance this money message. And so he know I know something about balancing. Matter of fact, these boys have heard me teach messages on being balanced in prosperity. But here, this is such a grave error here, because the Lord really wants to deal with this. And I want you now, I'm going to take you through many scriptures and explain them as the Holy Ghost lead me. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Most good Christians know this verse. But we need to get there and understand it. Because this is where it all started. I said, this is where it all started. If you didn't start here, you haven't started. You know, if you have some odd with this scripture, you close your Bible. No sense talking to you about nothing else tonight. Because this is one of these scriptures. It says that, well, I'll go back to the 7th verse. I like the 7th verse. Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Now, that grace is rich. It's exceedingly rich. Underline that in your Bible, if you would. I underline it in my Bible. So when I read it again, I'll catch it. Exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So it shows us how exceeding, how rich grace really is. Grace is actually God's favor. It's undeserved, unearned, unmerited favor. Now, you see, in the grace camp, they teach it just like that. Exactly like that. I mean, that was something, wonderful thing. But yet, tonight I have to hit some things that'll keep you balanced and to make you strong, all right? Now, it says in the 8th verse, we've heard his voice, for by grace are you saved. But notice the end of that statement. Through faith. Grace does not work by itself. And that's not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Now, one of the things in teaching this is foundational to me. In other words, Ephesians 2:8 is foundational. In other words, it's the way you start it. You don't turn to something else. You still got to operate by grace and faith. There's a wonderful insight in that. You ever had any trouble since you've been a Christian? Yeah. Let me see your hand. Don't sit there like you all. Well, turn to Romans 5. I'll show you something else. I want to show you link grace and faith together again.
Thank you.
It goes the other way this time. This time, you're saved by grace through faith. Now, in Romans 5, it's talking about sometimes you can hit a snag, a tribulation, trouble start coming. But there's some wonderful thing that the lesson on grace teaches us there. Romans 5. You there? It says in the first verse, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this thing. Now watch it. Watch what's happening. You just left Ephesians 2:8. Now watch what happened here. In the second verse, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now notice there, grace and faith is working together again. And it talks about, we've joined the hope of the glory, and they talk about tribulation, and said, in the love of God, Romans 5, she had brought in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Yep. We need not be ashamed. But I want you to see that now. You came in by grace through faith, and you're going to have to keep moving, connecting faith with grace. You can't just see any one thing you get on. If you wear it out, you're going to get to the point where you got to prove it's everything. And that's not the way, the whole counsel of God, that's not the way it works. Then go to Sasha. Then Tropa Satere. Go, my goodness. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. Ephesians 3, 2. My goodness. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3, 2. For I want you to see now, I have a whole list of the different dispensations, but I'm not going to go into it tonight. Dispensations that we've been through, but actually now, after the finished work of Christ, we're living in the dispensation of grace. In other words, we're in full position. In Christ. Now, there's some teaching and understanding that through Abraham, it was by pedigree. See, you were connected by being somewhere connected with Abraham. In Moses, when Moses received the law, some 430 years later, it was by performance. Now, somewhat, the church got stuck in performance. I understand that. And so we got to correct that, because I found out that performance blocked the glory. And so we open it up where the glory can flow, and that the glory can flow, and I'm going to train my people right. I got good people, talented, gifted. But we're going to train them to flow where when the Holy Ghost falls, get out of the way. And let the Holy Ghost do what he want to do. And then the third thing now, in this dispensation we live, in the finished work of Christ, is position. We are positioning now. See, pedigree, performance, position. Now, you can't go no deeper than what we are now. Christ is the last word. There's no dispensation that's going to supersede the dispensation of grace. That's a wrap. There's no new rabbit coming out the head. That's it. That's God's final. Christ was God's final move. Thank God Almighty. I don't want to get happy yet before I get my line, get my cause lined up. Praise God. But thank God that Jesus is the final word. And every born again child of God, you in the socket. You in position. Full position. Thank God for that. And I'm in agreement with the grace camp. I wasn't in agreement earlier. I didn't know no better. But Jesus Christ did take care of my past, present, and future sin. I can't go to hell. I ain't going to hell. I'm saved from now on. I have eternal life. I got it. I got scriptures to that. John 10, where he said, no man can pluck him out of my hand. I ain't planning on jumping out, you. But yet, Leroy is my son. I can't change that. He can leave. He can quit the church. God forbid. Go to acting a fool, doing all kind of things. I cannot deny him as my son, but I can cut him off. If he don't come back and say, you know, Daddy, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. If he don't repent. See, that's one of the things about the grace camp. They're talking about no repentance, no forgiveness. Don't never have to have no godly sorrow. I don't know how I got hooked at that, Ron, but the Lord wanted me to go deep enough to come to the night. Because it's going to come sooner or later. But we'll be ahead of the game. No damage, nobody hurt. Are you following me? No, there got to be. I'm going to prove it in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. You got to have godly sorrow. You got to ask God to forgive you. You got to have some remorse when you mess up. You need to repent. Scriptures, I saw them. I use them myself on my congregation for a while. I guess they were guinea pigs. I use it. Because see, now know why I know they were guinea pigs? Because one of my sons told me, and he don't talk about scripture much. I was standing beside him, and he don't know the Lord was working on me. He said, Pastor, you know, that grace message, real good grace. He said, you know, you was teaching grace already. I've been grounded for a long time in his word.
That's powerful.
That was the Lord told me. He don't know. Another guy come there crying and said, you mean I don't have to repent no more? Just crying. Another lady said, what's the consequences if you do wrong? I tried to give our answer in class. The students are here. The school of ministry here too. I tried to give our answer, but I was like a FBI agent who just sent me in prison. You know, so undercover. Sometimes they take an agent and they mess their record all up and give them a bad record and send them into prison. And the prisoners think they're another prisoner. So they tell him everything. Then they get out and arrest them. And so that's why I had to go deeper as I had gone. I know one thing, when I find something out, the first one thing I turn around is my household. I go to call in my son and my daughter and my son-in-law and get the scripture out and tell them, look, now they followed me, they read with me. And so I snatch them till we turn around. Yes, you're supposed to watch out. Now then, Ephesians 3:2, the Apostle Paul, you know, the Apostle Paul had to stand in the carpet with a lot of apostles, you know. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, what? See, it's a dispensation, Paul preaching the fullness of God, because he's preaching a finished work gospel. Then notice with me now, pastors, notice with me here. We studied from the book of Ephesians this morning. We studied the three prayers in the book of Ephesians. We talked about having a strong prayer life. But notice here again with me now in Ephesians, in Acts, as they talk about Ephesians. Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus when it was organized, then Acts chapter 20. We need to go there. Just go with me a moment. It take a lot. I used more scripture last night than I'm going to lose tonight. But it take a lot of scriptures to correct an error. Correct an error. Correct an error. Now notice here in Acts 20:28. Very powerful. We have a lot of responsibility. That is responsibility. Write these two words down. And accountability. You can't be a Christian and you don't have no responsibility. You just go do anything you want to do. Talking about God got it covered. You can't be a Christian and have no accountability. You just no count. That's your problem. You can just keep sinning, and the Holy Ghost keep asking you to stop, keep telling you you're wrong, and you keep ignoring the Holy Ghost and trying to say the devil's stronger than Jesus, the devil's stronger than the Holy Spirit. You can't stop doing it. No! You need to ask the Lord to strengthen me in my inner man. So I can take Romans 12:1, 2, and 3 and apply it in my life. If there's no such thing as repentance, why would it tell us Romans 12:1? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy. And why would he tell us do that? Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So if I can just live, grace got it all covered. We don't need Romans 12:1, 2, and 3. I just let it all hang out. God got it covered. I don't need to repent. I just cry out grace and it got it covered. And all the brethren and sisters here who are in the clergy, in the ministry, I want you to listen to this verse very clearly, because if the preacher don't get it, he going to mess up the congregation. If you don't take your heed to the works of the Holy Ghost, and you don't take heed to yielding and holiness and sanctification to live right, you're going to mess up the whole congregation. Notice now we're in Acts 20:28. serious. Take heed. Therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, or which the Holy Ghost have made you overseer, to feed the church of God, what he have purchased with his own blood. For I know this, Paul said to the church at Ephesus, that after my departure, talking now, my departing shall grievous wolf enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Then he says, the 30th verse, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Hold it, hold it, hold it. You see, when you get from the whole cost of God, God may give you a revelation. God gave me a revelation of money coming, but I stuck with the whole doctrine of God. I know I have to live right. I know I got to be led by the Spirit. I know I can't be led by no money. I know no money can't take me to heaven. I know I can't drive no Rolls Royce up to heaven. Then I have to leave it here. So I have to deal with the whole counsel of God and let the Holy Spirit bear witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. And I have to permit the Holy Spirit to lead me, guide me, train me, tell me, stop me, detour me, straighten me out. I love it. I love it that God has ways to deal with us to get us in place. So first of all, not my wife, not my children, not this church, I have to take heed to myself. Now notice here also, and this is one of the man texts that I got in Phoenix, feed the church of God, then Acts 20:24 now. See? All is good, all is good, is good. That's the word of God. But you got to eat it right. But none of these things, Paul said, none of the things move me, need to account my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I receive of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That it is, right there, the gospel of the grace of God. Then the 32nd verse, look at it, look at it, look at it. See, all the word of God has grace on it. Even in the New Testament, which is not the gospel, it's starting at Acts and going on up to the epistle. The grace of God is in control. The 32nd verse saying, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. But see, you cannot separate that from love. You can't separate it from faith. See, the whole counsel of God. Let me see. Let's see. Can we pull this? Where we can Acts 20, 27. It's sort of a key text. I read a lot of scripture, but it's sort of a key text to stand on here. For I have not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God. How many of y'all see it? Don't act like you don't see it. All the counsel of God. Sometimes you get on a little pet peeve trail and just running that trail. No, you need to listen to the Holy Ghost because he wants you to preach the whole counsel of God. We got so mad, they got so great, they start taking 1 John 1:9 out of the Bible. Got me? I got it on the table, we took it out. Talking about Gnostics. Turn there, turn to 1 John. Got me preaching, man. What? I know better than that. I know you got to repent. I know you got to tell God you're sorry. I know you got to confess your sin.
Help us. Yes, sir.
If you don't confess it, it's going to yeast on you. It's going to be like mama used to make papala soka. Mama used to make writhing bread. She put that yeast in the bread and it put in a little heat and you go back in that bread as a little boy. I went back, that bread got bigger. Then I go back about 3 hours later, bread got bigger. And then I get home, I said, mama, it's about ready. Some of y'all ain't never had no country yeast writhing bread. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Homemade. And drank a little mustard wine with it.